lip service to I got
for the first meeting of the Flood Resilience Committee. I think Mr. Chapman is joining us by phone.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming through loud and clear. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our June 6th meeting.
Move to approve.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Have a motion, a second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you'd like to make a comment, please come forward. 2.5 minutes. We need name and address, please. Anyone for public comments? None? All right. Item number four, staff presentation and update of draft environmental guidelines for land development. I think this is awesome. This is our, I don't know, second or third time to hear them. And I do want to point out on the agenda, this is a presentation and update. It is not for a vote today, but we'll get more information. And thank you all for your work in this. So I'll turn it over.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chapman, hopefully you can hear me fairly well. I'll project my voice so you can hear me through that. So yes, this is an update from June presentation where we went through a number of things and just updated you on the progress and development and the creation. What this presentation is going to do is just take you through the setup and how we tested the program and how the program is actually going to affect site improvements. So just as a quick background, just a refresher for you, our guiding principles from the very beginning, we just want to create a meaningful program, foster some positive change in natural environment. We also want to approach this in a public-private partnership. And we tried very hard not to create another economic hardship for the development of property. In Mount Pleasant, and we also want to embrace this opportunity. We realize that the development style in Mount Pleasant is changing from master plan residential communities to now, you know, more commercial redevelopment. So we want to get kind of ahead of that curve and put some guidelines in place to help steer some of the site designs to make it more environmentally friendly. So doing that, and also our mission statement is just to move the town forward with the industry. Is moving in this direction, and we need to, you know, move forward too in a positive direction as well. Taking a page from the LEED certification, how they've set their green build certification program up, we use the same format. We didn't reinvent the wheel here. We decided on four impact categories: one, to protect and restore, you know, the natural resources, also improve biodiversity, that's your wildlife, and improve community livability. The mobility, aesthetics, well-being, and promote energy efficiency. We selected those because those are really directed towards really commercial site design. Now, setting this up, we're using a lot of LID techniques. Just as an example here, and the way we were prioritizing and sorting the point system, we ran through them and did a medium, high, and low for each one of the categories. And from that, we created a points table. What you're seeing here is just a small snippet. The list is very long. But as you can see, the point distribution are predetermined before the site is even developed. And there's a whole selection of things and ranges to choose from. So we're not narrowing down and handcuffing the site designer. There's many of opportunities to do different things according to the site designer. So catching you up to today's presentation is about the setup. We want to make this a very easy program to understand. So what we did, we just used easy numbers. We set the minimum point system at 100. The four minimum categories, 1 through 4, what we were proposing to do is each one of the categories has to have an evenly distributed points of 25 in each one of them, meaning that the site designer can't just do one, like category one, and have all the 100 points. They actually have to touch all the bases to make sure that we do have a robust environmental program. It's just not a stormwater program, but it actually addresses all the other components of the environment too. So we want a good mixture and a good balance in the program. approaching this as a partnership, understanding that this is going to be an impact, a financial impact, because these LIDs do take money to install. We're implementing, or we're proposing, two levels of incentives, level two and level three, in easy increments of 100 points. And if the site, the property owner so chooses to move forward with these, with these level two and level three, we're not going to constrain them to an even distribution of impact categories. They could do one or other, so it, it makes it a lot more flexible for the designer to implement what his site would be able to yield as far as the points go. Now, the other very big and very important component of this program are the incentives. Designated level two and also a level three incentives, which would be the most difficult to get. And talking about those, this was one of the things we really solicited information back from our many stakeholder meetings. We met with the Chamber of Commerce. We met with a number of engineering companies. We met with commercial developers, property managers. Started hearing a very similar theme of flexibility with our site design and also flexibility with the building. We made a quick list here. We went through the options in the June committee, but just as a refresher here, the buffer width was one of the things that were noted. And also we put the caveat in that the buffer flexibility width would be only for light and adjacent zone property. It would not reduce the buffer width between commercial and residential, because that protects the residential property. Right now we have a minimum 10 foot between commercial, meaning that total 20 feet on both commercial sides. And when you have a small site, that means a big deal to the person trying to site design a small parcel. So that would be a very meaningful incentive. The second one is the dual use of the buffer. We heard that repeatedly. The ability to use some drainage features in the perimeter buffers as well. Also the pervious parking spaces. We heard that as one of the significant cost savers to prevent underground detention, reduce the size of underground detention, reduce the size of ponds that were required on the property. Right now, our commercial zoning requirements only allow pervious parking spaces when it goes above the minimum number of parking spaces required. So this would allow that incentive to be able to reduce that impervious surface on the commercial, ultimately resulting in a reduced underground detention, more usable space. So that has a direct and very meaningful impact. Four and five, you have those highlighted for a reason. Just want to make sure that the distinguish between one through three and four and five. Four, we heard height increase, some flexibility with the height. We put 20% on the height increase just to allow that very meaningful ability for some architectural design and maybe some usable space, some flexibility with the vertical requirements, as well as number five, which is not exactly straightforward, but the 10% building increase bonus without the minimum parking spaces. From what we heard and through our exercise with the prototype, a lot of the building square foot area is governed by the number of parking spaces, especially on the smaller commercial parcels. So if we give a 10% increase of the parking spaces without actually having require them to install the parking spaces, that the calculation for the building square footage goes up slightly. So it's a little confusing, but it actually makes a lot of sense, and it would be very meaningful to those that want to develop a small commercial property, but they're getting pinched by the number of parking spaces there. So having those two directly related to the structure itself gives the greatest rate of return from what we heard from our stakeholder meeting. So, and we will touch back on this in just a minute. So, so what we did from June, we solicited the services of a local engineering company, EarthSource Engineering, to run through some hypothetical scenarios and to actually provide some costs, some real numbers to what this really means, and to test the program. We selected randomly, but not real randomly, we selected the corner of Camilla and Coleman Boulevard. Everyone should be familiar with this site. It's the Sea Island Automotive Center. service. It is ripe for redevelopment. And actually, both parcels are owned by the same person, so it's likely going to be redeveloped in the future. So we just hypothetically selected this to run this through the program to see what happens. There's a couple of things that are important about this site, and that's why we like it, is it butts up against residential, so we don't want to do anything that actually impacts the residential lot. It also is almost completely impervious surface, and if you look close, there's no environmental elements at all. So this really made it a very nice site to run through and test the program. And I think everyone probably familiar with where this is too. Under current our current standards, if this were to come through our review tomorrow, this is typically what the site would look like. You'd have your building in the front, activity zone, possibly a drive-through window possibly, and then you would have your parking spaces in the other areas. There would be no pond, no detention, there's no treatment of stormwater, just because the site is already impervious surface, so the comparable calculation would be actually go down. And just by virtue of putting in the buffers and the site design, you do gain some green space, so there is a reduction of impervious surface there, and which would gain 15 points. And if you looked at the environmental points distribution, you'd have 10 under the water conservation and then 5 under the livability. But that's all you would be gaining from current standards today. So putting this through the program, minimum requirement would be 100 points. We want to make this very easy to achieve. So some of the options that are available, EarthSource decided that bike racks would probably be one of the candidates, and that would gain you 10 points, 25 points for treating water, the runoff through a water quality device, 20 points for changing the site lighting to an LED lighting where it and direct it down, and also partnership with Dominion Energy have their remote controls where they can dim and cut lights off in the evenings. Also, the EV parking signs. This is not EV stations, but just actually signing parking spaces to designate areas for motorized electric vehicles. Also, you would gain 20 points from rain harvesting and irrigation conservation. This is very important to Mount Pleasant Waterworks. They really are having a hard time trying to get commercial property to use water conservation in their potable water. Right now, everybody hooks up to the potable water system, and when we go through periods of no rain, there's a real demand on their system. So the rain harvesting is important to them. We put 20 points there, and there's an indicator device that you can actually install, which is about $100 to cut off the irrigation when it rains. So it's an opportunity to do something there. And also you'd be gaining the 15 points for the impervious surface reduction too. How this looks is an even distribution of 25 points of all the impact categories as we had set this up. Make sure it's a very balanced program. So you would get your minimum 100 points, and that's what you would be required to provide. Now, EarthSource Engineering provided the numbers here. It looks like it came up to $28,000 for all six LID components for this particular to reach that 100 points here. Now, taking it up to level two, if the developer so choose to move forward with the second level, the option could be installing pervious pavers. We selected a higher number for that one just because of the impact and the positive impact it would have, and also we're trying to encourage the use of changing that impervious to pervious material. This particular site is set up for good interconnectivity, very low budget opportunity there, 20 points for that, and also the installation of electric vehicle stations, 25 points there. What's important to point out here is the fact that the impervious surface, we started with 96%, we're now down to 57%. Just going through the program and having the ability to change the parking spaces, the pervious material. So the environmental points, the even distribution, still fairly spread out even. So all totaling up to 215 points. So then you would be eligible for level two incentives. How this looks as far as financially, the pervious parking spaces does have a high cost of $50,000. You've got the EV stations at $5,000 apiece, so a total of $55,000 that you would have to invest to get to that level two for this particular site, and a grand total of $83,000 for LID impacts when you sum up from level one. So moving on, level three, the 300 points, the most difficult one to get to. We've got options of installing a pollinator guarding, 30 points, low emitting building materials, another 30 points, tree canopy expansion, 25 points, for a total of your 300 points there. And also, just by virtue of implementing these items there, the impervious surface did go down some. So as the site continues to gain more points and reach higher levels, this exhibit shows all the LIDs that are part of that 300 points when you add in the 100 and the 200 items and then the 300 items. And just as a positive consequence of the program, the reduction of impervious surface went from 96% down to 41% for this particular property. What this means financially, the top two are level one, level two, and the bottom's level three. It means there's an additional $30,000 on top of the level one and level two, bringing the grand total of $113,000 for total LID expense. Now, this is probably a very good time to point out the fact that only level one is recommended to be required. Level two and level three, that's a business decision, and that is a choice the developer would have to make that investment if they were to decide that incentive is worthy enough for them to achieve. So so back to the incentives. What we think makes the most sense is to group these together. Level two being directly related to the site design itself, where the buffer width, reduction of the buffer width, gains more developable area on site. The dual use of buffer, the ability to use stormwater detention and things of that nature inside the buffer, which is not allowed in current standards, and also the pervious parking spaces too. That would give them the most opportunity and be the most meaningful incentives to reach that 200-point level two level incentive there. So so in level three, we group that together because that's directly related to the structure itself. That's where you get the most rate of return. And that's exactly what we heard from just about everybody we spoke with is what's the rate of return on this? Having some flexibility with the height increase was one of the things that was stressed. And also, if the height is not something of an issue, you have the option of actually increasing the building square foot area. So there provides some flexibility, and level two is all three would be available. Level three, we feel like each individual one in itself would be more meaningful, and would be enough to give entice the developer to move forward with all the site improvements there. So that's how it shakes out. We wanted to keep this simple. We want to keep this straightforward. And we listen to all the stakeholders, and we use that information to go back into the program to change it and create something I think that I think we could be proud of. So we're here to receive any feedback, adjust the program as needed, make any more presentations. Be happy to do that as well. So thank you for your patience there.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Definitely some very forward posture type items on there that I like. It's a lot to take in all at once. I guess one of the questions that I had, legal is in here, David is in here. I know this came from stakeholders, but when they talk about a 20% height increase incentive or whatever, is that over our existing ordinance, or is that
Yes, sir.
Over the ordinance?
Yes, sir. Just whatever the parcel, the height restriction is, it would be a 20% increase on that to provide that vertical flexibility that we are.
Okay. And so basically that's a developer saying, if I do these things, will you give me more height?
Yes, sir.
All right. So in an area like Coleman Boulevard where it's 45.
Yes, sir.
That gives them how many more feet?
9 feet.
9 feet. So that's another floor basically. Right.
Would be close to it. Yes, sir. I think 10 foot is a floor, but it's right there up under it.
What's that?
I think 10 foot is your general floor.
Okay.
Story space. So, and that's kind of how we judged it is, you know, okay, we want to make sure that there's enough flexibility to do some architectural design, maybe create some more usable space. But keep it at that ability to entice that developer to spend the extra money. So he will get the rate of return on the structure of this building. Cause that's the only thing that's really going to get him that rate of return.
Right.
So it's very important for them.
Yes, ma'am.
So we didn't, impact fees weren't part of this, right? I mean, conversation today. But I mean, wasn't that originally we were going to, their financial incentive would be sort of a rebate on
that
those
was one
costs?
Of, yes, ma'am. That was one of the items we did discuss. And that's one of the items, of course, we heard. But going back to separating this program and make it directly related to what the impacts really are, the investment, because the impact fees are, you know, are a set number based upon square foot area and land use. The actual impact to the LIDs vary so much, and the offsets are directly related to that type of impact that they're receiving. So as we grouped them together, we wanted the site improvement flexibility because the LIDs are changing the site itself. And then the bigger carrot would be the rate of return, which is directly related to the building square foot area. So we gave it a lot of consideration, but we really felt like that was getting a little bit more complicated than what this program was intended to do. Because the impact fees, those are related to CIP projects and related to other programs internally with the town, and it would make the most sense for this to be more independent of itself and have the incentives more directly related to offset the actual impact.
If I may, Mayor.
I was going to ask you too. Anyway.
Your impact fees will differ by property. So, for example, this was an auto repair place in the example. They had a certain amount of traffic trips. Let's say the proposed new development has its own set of traffic trips. Well, if the difference between one and the other is small, then the impact fee will be tiny. And in that particular example, I don't think would move a developer to take advantage of what we're asking them to do. They'd only be paying the increment in a case like that.
Also, aren't impact fees governed by certain laws about under what circumstances they can or cannot be used or abated in any way, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
There has to be a rational nexus between the credit you're giving and what they're receiving. And in this case, those things don't relate. Right. So transportation impact fees are really the highest impact fee any commercial development pays.
Right.
It would not be eligible. We did look at stormwater fees. They're pretty nominal. So they don't really have anybody aspire to, well, I'm going to get $3,000 off my stormwater fee. So we did vet those pretty seriously, and we also heard those things would not really matter to them. So that's where we ended up.
Yes.
Thank you. I cannot tell you guys enough times how much I love this. I think the fact that we are being proactive about how we're managing this shift into redeveloping commercial areas is beautiful. That example was perfectly laid out, easy to understand. I love the fact that we actually visualized and drew out what it would look like to go from 96% to, what was it, 41? That's incredible. So thank you so much. And guys, I know that we are, and you know, I'm not height, I'm but for something like this, I I could see what the feedback you're getting, how that would be more important to them. But I think what we have to gain, what the environment has to gain from them making these changes, would it be something that we could go to like 10% instead of 20? Would that
right
help
now,
them at all?
Yes, ma'am.
We
right
could
now,
do anything. I know, but I'm just
saying. This isn't even a draft.
Between the three of us.
Yeah, this is a
but just
presenting
us talking,
the program.
Like,
yes, ma'am.
We could still like just, I just love it. Like, I think it's whatever we can do to make this happen.
Appreciate
please
that. And yeah, it's completely under y'all's purview.
Giving us feedback, but this is, it was, it's beautiful. I just, I could listen to you talk about this all day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think as we look at this, just looking way, way forward ahead, that there will probably be a day, maybe when all of us are no longer doing this, but those will probably be the normal development standards around the, you know, around the area. I don't know about Mount Pleasant, but we will probably see in the not too distant future, because I know, like, I see Councilman Rambo out there, the stuff we are hearing at Waterworks, where we serve as commissioners, that the changes based on conservation, based on there being less fresh water, you know, all over, everywhere, and the need to conserve that, things that were unheard of 10 years ago are going to be the norm in the not-too-distant future. So before we do too many giveaways and too many incentives, you know, someday these will probably be your normal development guidelines for, you know, for the town. But I think this is excellent work. Let me ask, what's the logical next? What are our next steps and our path forward for this? What do y'all foresee at this point?
Well, you can lead us in the direction you so choose. If there's some changes or some more study that's needed, of course, we can bring this back to you at any time. Draft ordinance. We can go ahead and begin working on draft ordinance if that is the decision here. We'll be happy to make a presentation to council if that's needed as well. To receive additional feedback, I believe it's right now we're right there at the finish line where mm-hmm. we're sitting on go just mm-hmm. wherever you'd like for us
okay.
to take.
That was my question: is how close are you to what to where you want to pass it to us and say now y'all got to make a decision? So you're basically there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, committee.
I would just say I hope I live long enough to see all this come to fruition. But I mean, I guess as you said, we could just make these the rules and not offer incentives, but we want this to happen. I guess I'd like us to look more into what incentives we can give. I know, you know, they're going to ask for a lot, like 20% or probably more, and that's always going to be a good thing for the developer, but just looking more into the incentives, I guess. Otherwise, I think it's perfect.
I think that it would be, I mean, don't you think council would love to hear this? Just even things like just the pavers, right? And just looking at how much, because pavers are getting expensive. I mean, like $50,000. I think that's, I just looked at my house.
Yeah,
and they wanted
stuff.
Like $30,000 to do. And I'm like, oh, no. But even the, like the rain harvesting and irrigation piece, I know you guys had done for like 10,000, and that's, you know, that's doable, I would think, for a big developer to. But yeah, I think we're ready for everybody to hear this. I would love that.
This coming Tuesday?
Do we have a lot Tuesday?
How long would it take to do a surface level with no action items, just to run it by council and see what we get?
This presentation was about 15 to 20 minutes. I can get it down to about 12 minutes to 10 minutes. Very quickly.
The flip side of that is, do we want to do something before council when there's really no action, there's no first reading, there's no suggested ordinance from this committee yet? I tend to default to, why don't we do our work?
Okay.
And then and maybe bring this to our committee next month with the and we've got some talking to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Howard's on the phone among ourselves, especially about the incentives. And maybe the plan would be that at our next committee meeting, we would have an ordinance first reading that we're ready to send up. And then everybody sees this when first reading is ready. How about that?
I think that's a good approach, Mayor. I know there's concern about these level three incentives. It is a give and take
right.
in this regard. And it's not all about impervious area either. It's about all the other things that you're going to get when you move up to these level twos and threes. Level one is now the baseline, the new bar. So That's mm-hmm. kind of where you're setting that. Once you set that, then you can achieve two more levels. So mm-hmm. there's flexibility. You know, these incentives weren't arbitrary, but they certainly can be adjusted.
Right.
And if height is a concern and you say, well, I don't, you know, what is 45 feet, 20%? That's too much. What's 15%? Well, that's 7 feet on a 45 height. You know, start thinking about it in that regard, as well as any of the expansion of the footprint of the building.
But right.
if we can get that feedback, then we can certainly start proposing different things to you. But we're at that point.
And having been involved in this height issue for so long, when I think about it, it's not so much like if it was, say, 10%. You're not getting a functional floor for that, but you might get a much more aesthetically appealing design instead of everybody building to the exact height line, putting a flat roof there, and you have nothing that's aesthetic to look at. So that's why I want some time to talk with y'all about this and look this over. We might get better buildings, but we might end up with no more functional space than we already were going to have. No more impact, no more people, no more mass. Different roof lines, maybe a rooftop garden. You know, we've talked to Roper about what they're going to be doing in the future at the Miller track and how we could come up with something that very pleasing to the eye. So let's take that path forward. Ms. Chapman, you on board with anything? Got anything to add before we adjourn?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Mitchell for sending me the presentation, and I was able to pull it up while he was presenting. So thank you for that. You know, everybody's worried about a little bit of extra height. And my thought on that is by having extra landscaping, extra trees in the area, the relationship goes down. You're not getting the full effect of that height when you have other things like trees, like landscaping, that takes that initial impact, which you would have without any of that stuff, and then you have a little better relationship to look at. So I'm not as concerned about that little bit of extra height, because you, as Mr. Mitchell said, 10 feet is the normal for an extra floor. We're not going to 10 feet, I don't think. So I'm not as concerned about that as I am the extra cost that is put in there to help the environment. So that's kind of my thoughts right now.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else from the committee or from staff? So I think we all know the path forward. I appreciate the work on this. I'm excited about it, too. I know you've heard that a lot, but this is great work, and I appreciate y'all doing this.
Appreciate y'all.
All right. That concludes item 4. Item 5 is to adjourn. If there's nothing further for this committee, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you, Mayor.